At this time, I wanted to share a scripture and a message with you. As most of you may know, if you've been here at Wesley, we are in a series for Lent on the Gospel of Matthew, and we are reading through the Gospel of Matthew through the course of Lent, and we're reading through it four chapters at a time. And so this is the third week, and so if you've been reading along, it's chapters 9 through 12, and I'm going to pick a passage in a minute from that to share with you. But just to give you a sense of what's going on in this passage, I had titled my sermon, An Open and Shut Case, An Open and Shut Case. And the meaning of that title is that in this section of Scripture and continuing through Matthew, we see Jesus preaching about the kingdom of heaven, about God's will for our lives and for this world. And as we read through, we see people who are open to that message, and we see people who are shut down from that message. And in these chapters, and I'd encourage you to read those today if you haven't, but chapters 9 through 12, you will see Jesus doing amazing things. He is teaching, and he is also demonstrating the kingdom of heaven by healing people physically and spiritually. And we see that those people, in order to experience that, they have to have some openness to Jesus. They have to believe at least enough to come to Jesus and to allow Jesus to work in their life. On the other hand, in Matthew, we see that there's a group of people generally called the scribes and the Pharisees. They are some of the most religious people of that time, but they were very close. They were shut to what Jesus was saying. They were hanging on to what they knew and what their beliefs were, what they felt were important about the Old Testament and how they were to live that out together. And so you'll see throughout Matthew, Jesus revealing something new. Jesus himself said that he did not come to abolish the law or the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. But he was fulfilling it in a way that they did not expect. And so once again, many people were shut to that. So an open and closed case. The scripture that I want to share with you in particular is from chapter 9, beginning in verse 9. And there we see the call of the disciple Matthew. So let me read that to you. Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax booth, for he was a tax collector. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. Now, many of you know that tax collectors in this time, as they are now, are not everybody's favorite people. And in particular, they really despise the tax collectors of this time. And so the fact that Jesus chose a tax collector to be one of his 12 disciples was a big deal. And so continuing on in verse 10, says that as Jesus sat down to dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said to the Pharisees, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Once again, Jesus told them, "Go and learn what this means. I deserve mercy, not sacrifice." What Jesus just quoted there is from his scripture. The Old Testament scripture is found in the book of Hosea 6:6, where it says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." So Jesus was responding to the Pharisees. As I had said before, they were a closed case. As they saw Jesus reaching out to all people, including tax collectors and sinners, they were wanting to reject that and to question that. A big part of the faith that they were living out, the leaders of the Hebrew people at this time, was a faith that excluded people who were not righteous in their eyes, who did not follow the law precisely. And we see throughout Matthew and in these chapters that Jesus was offering the kingdom of heaven to all people, and to people that the scribes and Pharisees wouldn't have expected, like the tax collector and other sinners. In Matthew, there's a section where Jesus talks about how blessed is the one who takes no offense at what I am doing. And when Jesus said this, he was talking about all the things he was doing, the things he was saying that the Pharisees rejected, and the things he were doing, even at times healings. And we're going to talk about that in a second. The Pharisees even rejected healings, and that made them mad. And so Jesus told them, "Blessed are those who take no offense at me and what I'm doing." The word actually means, the word that we translate usually as offense, it actually means scandal. And so to the Pharisees, to the people who were hanging on to the old thing, the idea that God, that Jesus would come and he would reach out to all people, even sinners, and that they could come to him without following all the particulars of the Jewish law, that was scandalous to them. And so they truly did. They were rejecting Jesus. In chapter 9, just after this section, we see a series of miracles. The first one we see was a leader of a synagogue. And so this was a Jewish person, a Jewish leader. And he comes to Jesus and says, My daughter has just died, but if you come and lay your hand on her, she will live. And so this synagogue leader had faith. And I think in some ways we can all relate to this, that sometimes when we're going through difficult times, when we've lost loved ones or lost something else important, significant to us, sometimes that causes us to seek and to look for help or solutions, to look for hope. And this man believed. And so he came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus to heal his daughter, and Jesus did. He said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well," which is interesting, and it says something about that daughter, because at the time Jesus says this to her, you know, she had just died, so she didn't come on her own. Jesus came to her by the request of her father. But I think it says something. Jesus knows all of our hearts, and he knows what faith we have, and he knows when we are seeking him in our lives. That's why Jesus said, "Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you." I think sometimes for us in the church, we can get the idea that we are the ones who seek God in our lives. I think sometimes we can fail to recognize that people all throughout the world, they seek for help and hope and healing. And many, many believe that there is a God and they are seeking God in their lives. They may not know how to speak with God. They may not know how to encounter God in their lives. But one of the things that we believe as the United Methodist Church is that God's grace is available to all, and in fact, God's grace pursues all. We believe that God's grace and God is seeking each and every human being in this world, and God is present with them from their first breath and throughout their lives and into eternity. So this woman, this young woman, this daughter experienced a healing, and of course her father experienced an amazing blessing as well. Also in this section, there's a woman who would have been ostracized from Hebrew society. It says in our scripture that she had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. At this time and in the Hebrew law, someone who was bleeding and hemorrhaging would have been considered unclean. And so if she had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, they would have isolated her. That was one of the things. It's similar to what we are doing on our own today, trying to isolate some social distance so that we do not spread disease. And so this woman would have been isolated, but Jesus healed her and made her well. He did something different than what the Pharisees and the leaders would have done. He went to where she was. Then we see a scripture, a passage about Jesus healing two blind men. And they come to Jesus. Jesus asked them a question. Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to make you well?" And they replied, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. They said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord." Throughout all these and all the examples of Scripture, it's the people who are open to Jesus that Jesus is able to heal. And it is not just physically. When we come to Christ, when we're open to Him for the first time or each day when we open our hearts to God as we pray in the morning or whenever we pray throughout the day, God's healing and love floods into our life. But it is when we say, "Yes, Lord," when we are open. Once again, as I said, the Pharisees were not open, and we see that in many different ways. They're continually arguing with Jesus, and at times they tell him he's blaspheming at once because he forgave the sins of someone. And they said, "That's blasphemous that you could forgive sins." And of course, they are right according to the scripture, unless Jesus himself was God. And all who follow Christ believe that Jesus was God. And so he could forgive and he could heal. One of those healings took place, and it talks about this in chapter 12, which some of you may have read, beginning in verse 9. It says that Jesus had left and entered a synagogue, and there was a man, and he had a withered or a crippled hand. And they asked him, the Pharisees asked him, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" And they knew the Hebrew law, and Jesus did too. The Ten Commandments said to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. But in some of their scripture, there was particular explanations about what that meant to keep the Sabbath. And basically, it came down to not working at all. And so what the Pharisees were doing as they asked this question is they were suggesting to Jesus, they wanted to see what he would do, because they were saying, "Jesus, you're not allowed to heal this man because it's the Sabbath, because it's work." And so they asked Jesus what he was going to do. Jesus replied, saying, "If one of you only has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a human being than a sheep. Some of the Gospels, Jesus talks about that rather than being a sheep. He talks about an ox, and that is where we get that expression, an ox in the ditch. Kind of the idea that at times, even if you're honoring the Sabbath, there are things that are more important than our religious ceremonies and regulations. That's, once again, part of why we're worshiping this way today. We know that we can worship together in spirit. We don't have to be present, and that it is more important today for us to think about all God's children and try to help people to stay healthy than it is to follow what our normal routine would be. So Jesus, once again, was pointing out the most important thing. He said that Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath. Also in chapter 12, there we see a section in which Jesus is going with his disciples. It says that they were walking through a field of wheat on the Sabbath, and as they did so, the disciples were taking and plucking some of the wheat and eating it. And the Pharisees criticized Jesus and his followers because they considered the plucking of wheat to be work on the Sabbath. And that is where Jesus once again quotes the passage from Hosea that we heard in the beginning. In verse 7 of chapter 12, Jesus responds to them. Actually, I'm going to begin in verse 5 of chapter 12. Jesus said, "Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless?" And so Jesus was saying that it was a normal practice that the priest in the temple would eat on the Sabbath. And so Jesus was pointing out the hypocrisy of these leaders and the fact that they were just trying to trip him up and get him in trouble, essentially, and once again reclaim their hold on the faith community that they felt like was slipping away as people were responding to Jesus and his message. And Jesus says to them, "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here." Jesus was saying to them that he came, and in his coming, the kingdom of heaven had drawn near. The kingdom of heaven had drawn near for all people. And that is true today. God's kingdom is near when we are open to him. Jesus continued saying, "If you had known what it meant, that I deserve mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned my disciples." I seek mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus was telling us how much God loves us and all people. And while there are important things that we do as part of our faith, the most important thing is that we love one another, that we love all people, that we share God's love with all people. I pray in the days ahead, as many people will have quiet times at home, at times people will be fearful. We know that because more testing is being done, that more cases will be diagnosed. And in all that, I pray that God would work through his people, that we would shine the light and love of Christ amongst all people, and that we would draw together in a nation in which we are sometimes divided and in a world in which we are divided, that we would remember and learn what it means that God desires mercy and love toward one another. And I pray that God would draw us together. Jesus came into the world. He proclaimed the forgiveness of sin. He proclaimed the kingdom of heaven, and he invited all to enter in. It's an open and shut case. I want all of us everywhere to ask ourselves, are we open? Let us be open. And let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do love you and we love one another as you have called us to. God, at the same time that we love you and love one another, we wrestle at times with our thinking and at times with selfishness. Sometimes we say unkind words and sometimes we have unkind thoughts. Forgive us, we pray. God, today we open our hearts to you and ask your blessing individually and as a people, that you would unite us together and that we would be open to the kingdom that you are creating in this world for all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.